Would you turn with me to Joshua chapter 24, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. Joshua chapter 24, and I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. In Joshua 24, 14 and 15, it says, this is Joshua speaking to the Israelite people, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Last Wednesday, Irene and I took off for Isabel, South Dakota. We went to bring the Tavaya family their bikes. There was five bicycles and they didn't fit on the moving van, so we fired them in the back of our truck, hooked onto the trailer, and away we went. And we found that Isabel is a small village or town. It's between 150 and 175 people, and it's situated in north central South Dakota, right in the middle of two large Native reservations, Standing Rock Reservation on the north and Cheyenne River Reservation to the south. Now, it seemed weird to us, and the American reservation system must be different than ours, because in their system, non-Native people are allowed to own land and carry on ranching and farming activities on reservation land. Now, I know in Canada you can rent land or lease land on Native reservations, but I don't think you can own any. Does anybody know different? I don't think so, but there you can. The guys, they own their own ranches right on the reservation land. And when you looked around and thought about it, it didn't feel like a reservation. Now, this might not be the right thing to say, but in that part of the world, nobody locks their doors. You leave your keys in your vehicle, and it's safe. Not like here, right, Ron? No. But you did see Native people in town and around, so on the map, it's they're big Indian reservations. And they call them Indian reservations down there. Isabel Baptist Church. The church is a small, older building, but well kept, clean and tidy, and the kitchen was being renovated while we were there. And it's a two-story with a basement, like a main floor and a basement. The parsonage, I can't read my own writing, was right next to the church, and it was a beautiful new house. It was about 5 years old, a bungalow with a large two-car attached garage, five bedrooms, three baths, and a large kitchen where Gabriella can cook and entertain to her heart's content. And it was a beautiful new building. And Irene and I were overjoyed to see that their house was so new and beautiful, because that would have made that transition much easier and easier to take. And the reason it was so new was because the previous parsonage had burnt down, and so they built a new one. And Jeremy and I were just discussing down there, it's much cheaper to build a house than it is here. Like a lot of people say, they'll go to Grand Forks from here and buy building materials for way less money, even if you have to pay the exchange. It's a way less. And of course, Irene and I, we went to church with them on Sunday, and there were about 35 people in church that Sunday morning. It's a small congregation, and it's the kind of people you would expect in that place: farmers, ranchers, working people, old and young. And all of them seemed friendly and joyful to be there. We sang out of a hymnal with piano accompaniment, just like we do here, except I think I was the only guy singing harmony that morning. And apparently somebody told Richard that too later on. And just like here, Irene played the piano when we sang. It was fairly normal. Actually, the reason we did that is their piano player was sick that day and she couldn't make it. So the guy leading it, he said, "Well, we'll have to sing without a piano player." And Gabriel says, no, Irene can play. So she got up and she played and we sang, and it was great. We had a good time. And then Richard preached from God's word. And his preaching is always the same. It's really good. So we had a really great time in their church, and it was really nice. And we found out that there are three other churches in Isabel. One of them is a Lutheran church. One of them is a Catholic church, and I'm not sure what the other one is. But Richard said he hadn't met any of those pastors, and he didn't know what they were all about, which is kind of funny, kind of weird. But you see, the thing is, when Village Missions sends a pastor to a church, he isn't just pastoring that church. He's also a pastor for the town. Village Missions pastors are called missionary pastors. Their ministry extends into the town and into the surrounding countryside. Richard told me that he's been busy walking around town, going to businesses and dealerships and the Sparky's restaurant, Sparky's Cafe, I think it's called, and local seniors' homes, and to meet people, to get to know them, and to let them know who he is and what he's all about. And that's exactly what Village Missions wants him to do. When Richard and Gabriella lived in Stonewall, I would occasionally do little tune-up type odd jobs around their house. I did a couple of those in their new house in Isabel. When they moved in, they had taken the railing for the deck down, so I have a drill, put it back up, and stuff like that, because Richard doesn't do those things. He hasn't been gifted in that. As a matter of fact, he once told me the only time a Jewish man ever picks up a hammer is when he's trying to sell it. But Richard is gifted in other areas that a lot of us are not. He is gifted in meeting new people and sharing his faith through God's word freely and openly with them. He is gifted with godly wisdom and discernment in the scriptures. He is gifted in preaching and teaching the Bible. Richard loves people and always seeks their good according to God's will. God has gifted him well for the ministry that he's in. Gabriella is gifted in cooking meals and hosting and fellowshipping with all those that come into their home. She's the perfect helpmate for a missionary pastor. And when we were there, I noticed a plaque that was on their TV table. And the plaque was Joshua 24, verse 15, the second half, that part where it says, as I read before, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Only on that plaque on their table, it said, "But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Now, I researched that a little bit when I got home, and there are a couple of translations of the Bible that use the word family instead of house. I thought the word family was appropriate for Richard and Gabrielle and their family. They have been called to Isabel as a family and want to serve Jesus as a family in church, in town, and also in school. Richard and Gabrielle have a heart for ministry, and they love to minister to people. I told Richard that if that church wanted a pastor who would speak and preach the truth from God's word, that they were going to love him, because that's what he does. Irene and I believe they are called into the right ministry, and we believe that they will do well there. We miss them and their children greatly, but we have to let those we love go so that they can go and do the work that God has called them for the furtherance of the gospel, so that someone has the opportunity to receive Jesus. I'll close by reading Acts 4, verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Also, Romans 10, verses 13 to 15. Romans 10, 13 to 15. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things."